Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
All right, everybody, take a big deep breath in and let it out. You're qualified to praise the Lord. All right, do me a favor. Take just a moment. Speak to five people around them. Tell them they look so nice today. And then we'll gather back together. Go ahead. Let them know really quickly. Back, if you will. We're thankful if you go ahead and have a seat, friends. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you here on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're thankful that you are participating from wherever you are. You may already be traveling. You may be at home, whatever the case may be. We hope that you will know today is Communion Sunday for us. And so we would ask you to take a moment to go and find some juice, water, find crackers, bread, whatever the case may be. Be ready a little later to participate with us from home. We hope that you will. If you're in the room and you did not pick up one of the communion element sets on the way in, when we start the next song, we would encourage you just to really quick sneak back outside the worship center doors. There should be a basket there on each side. You can grab one. You'll need it a little later in the service. And when it comes time to use it, it'll be too late to get it. So go ahead and grab that pretty quickly if you will. We're thankful for that. We have 1,000 reasons to praise the Lord this morning. We do. There's so much we have to be thankful for. I want to take just a moment to pray for our Church of the Week and Missionary of the Week. Each week we pray for a different church. This week we're praying for St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We love our brothers and sisters. They are not far from us at all, distance-wise. And so we're so thankful for their congregation. We're thankful for their long history here in our city and for the difference that they make. And then we're also praying for Marshall County Christian Services. It's a wonderful ministry that we have been blessed to partner with for decades now, and we're so thankful that we can provide partnership through a building, through monthly resources, but we also want to pray for them. And so we want to pray for Linda Henry, one of our very own. She's right here in the room today. Pray for Linda as she leads, and Leslie as she co-leads and helps, and all that takes place there. We're so thankful, and they help so many families in need, and they are a bridge to the gospel. They're not just a bridge to the gospel, they are the gospel. They're the hands and feet of Jesus. And so we're so thankful to partner with them. So would you pray with me and then we'll continue. Father God, we gather now. And in this hour, my prayer is that every person in this room, every person participating online, every person who is listening on the radio, that for the next 45 to 50 minutes, we could focus our mind's attention, that we could focus our heart's affection, that we could focus our hands, we could focus our lives toward you. That we'd lift our voices in praise to you, that we would listen and hear and learn from the scripture, that we would celebrate the Lord's death until he returns again. Father, we pray for St. Paul. We pray that you'd move in power among them. We're thankful for their rich ministry over the years here in our community. But Father, my prayer is that you would allow 2025, we're almost there, that you would allow 2025 to be their greatest year of ministry they've ever seen as a church. God, that you'd move in power there. Lord, we take a moment to pray for Marshall County Christian Services, the way they help empower women to follow Jesus and to live productive lives and to take care of their families. We're so thankful for that ministry. We're thankful for the way that they provide resources for families in need in our community. We're thankful for the food that they provide, the hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of food that is given away in the name of Jesus. Father, they are living out the example of the gospel, and we're we're thankful for that. I pray for Linda and her health. I pray for Leslie. I pray for all of their volunteers. And Lord, I pray you'd send more volunteers. I pray you'd raise up volunteers out of this room that could go and serve with them. Lord, we pray that you would continue to use that ministry as they are your hands and feet in our community. And we thank you for that. And Father, now I pray for every church in our city, in our county, Lord, that you'd move in power among them. Lord, for a couple of folks in our church who are in the hospital today, I take a moment to pray for Steve Fryer as he is back in the hospital after heart surgery last week. We pray that things would go well for him, that his body would recover strong and that he would have a quick and full recovery. Father, we pray for Shirley Ryan as she is in the hospital dealing with a little infection after some treatment this past week. We pray that she would have a full and quick recovery. Lord, we pray for others in our church that are dealing with cancer or disease or difficulty, others recovering from surgery, others who are dealing with multiple health issues or family issues. Lord, we have those in our faith family that have lost loved ones recently. And as we walk into a week filled with family holiday celebrations, I just don't know what this week will hold for them in so many ways. So my prayer is that you would be their comfort, you would be their strength, you would be their peace. God, that you would give them incredible opportunity to stop and reflect on the goodness of you and how you provided those family members to them. God, every person in this room has something going on in their life. We're moving into what will be a busy, busy season. My prayer is that every last one of us can make a decision to direct our attention daily to you, to stop and be reminded as we celebrate this week with family that we have so much to be thankful for. So, Father, we thank you for this. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, even as Thanksgiving is really an American holiday, the concept of giving thanks comes straight from the heart of God. If you take your Bible and start looking, there are over 100 verses that specifically tell us to give thanks. Thanks is implied multiple times in the scripture, but it specifically says to give thanks in over 100 different verses. I love what Max Lucado says about that. I've shared this before, but here's his quote. He says, "If quantity implies gravity, then God takes thanksgiving seriously." Let me say that again. If quantity, how many times the Bible says to give thanks, implies gravity, how important it is to give thanks, then God takes thanksgiving seriously. Here are just a few verses. Now, as I read these, don't just let them roll past you really quickly and you miss the point of what they say. Listen to what these verses tell us. Psalm 107:1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Has God ever let you down? Listen, friends, his love endures forever. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." That's what we're doing today, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what we're doing today. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Over and over in that passage, Paul says to thank God and to do this all in the name of the Lord and for who he is. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything." If I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you fall into the anxious anonymous category, there's a lot of us in here that would fall into that we could find ourselves having anxiety or being anxious over certain things. In fact, one of the most difficult things to do is to justify in your own mind as a believer how you can be anxious and don't know what to do with it, yet the scripture says not to be anxious, and how do you just take that and live it when you read it? That's not easy. But look at what it says here. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." In other words, you can't just say, "Anxiety, go away." The reality is we have to pray and we have to ask God for help. And then with supplication, praying for others with thanksgiving, and make our requests known to him. Psalm 106:1 says this, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Sounds like a verse I read earlier. Psalm 30 verse 12 says this, and it would be as if we would speak these words ourselves, "That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Guys, could that be your prayer, that you would say, "God, Let the glory you've given me, let it sing praise to you today. And lastly, Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give to him. Bless his name. Guys, God's grace towards us leads to thankfulness. God's glory revealed in us leads to thankfulness. God's love for us leads to thankfulness. So let's praise the name of God. Let's cry holy to our God. Let's sing to the Lamb of God now. Here's a song about what we'll do in heaven, but what we can do on earth too. Let's stand together and sing, Holy is the Lord. Let's lift it to him.
Falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will be, to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name. Forever.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, you are holy. That means we set you apart. You are set apart by yourself. You are set apart by nature. But you created us so that we could walk in relationship with you, so that we could give you glory. You created us for you. God, sometimes we think that you exist for us. Forgive us. You created us for your pleasure, for your good. So may we cry holy in our hearts. May we set you apart now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for this faith family. As I look across this room in our early service, as I look across it now, and I know we have some traveling, but I think about our faith family. There are around 350 different family units, 350 families that call themselves part of our faith family and actively participate as far as different family groups. And looking through our online photo directory and praying for people, or, and then we just have a master list as a staff of families that we look at and can know and pray for. And honestly, looking through that list, I have so many incredible thoughts and memories about so many of you. Ones that my wife and I have been privileged to be connected with in ministry now for 27 years in one way or another. And then some that are brand new this year. And to stop and understand that, what a blessing. I love our faith family. This is a special group of people. I have thoroughly enjoyed this year as we've gathered together in worship, and especially this fall, early fall, when we celebrated the Jesus Way, and we spent 10 weeks working through Scripture to help us live the Jesus Way. And we spent 10 weeks looking at the gap between our way and Jesus' way, and that we've been called to live Jesus' way, to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to live like him. And we had a song that we used as an anthem every week for 10 weeks, either as the invitation or we sang it during the service, called The Jesus Way. And Don and I taught we did not want to let this communion service go by without stopping to remember and be thankful for the wonderful 10 weeks of celebrating we had together, where we were able to make a renewed commitment that says, God, I want to live the Jesus way. And so I want to invite you to sing this song with us. But here's what we'll do. This is a prayer of commitment before we get to communion. It's not just that we will celebrate the elements of the bread and the juice. It's not just that we will remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's that we want to stop and reflect and celebrate what God allows us to do as part of his kingdom plan. That we'll say, God, I want to live the Jesus way. And if there's ever a world that needs it, it's ours. If there's ever a neighborhood that needs it, it's yours. If there's ever a family that needs it, that you're going to spend time with this week, it's yours and mine. So may they see us live the Jesus way. So I want to invite you know this song well. Would you let this be your prayer, your anthem prayer this morning? Let's stand together and let's sing the Jesus way. You know it. Let's lift it together.
Treasure, he is the answer.
Father God, we choose the Jesus way. We choose to forgive, and that's not easy at times. We choose to love when sometimes people are unlovable. We choose surrender. God, that's a choice about our own lives. May every person in this room choose to surrender to you, to your will, to your ways, to your truth in the scripture. Thank you. Amen. Be seated, friends. In Psalm 77, 11, it says this. I love this passage. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Let's take this and let's do what it says. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. Will you take just a moment with me to stop and remember the deeds that God performed throughout the Bible? I wrote down several that are important to me. Think back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sin, and then shame enters the picture, and shame still exists today as we walk in sinfulness. And Adam and Eve find themselves naked. They had been naked, but they found out they were naked. There's a difference in naked and naked, but that's another story. So they figured it out, and they took leaves to make covering for themselves, and God knew that was not going to work. And so God, the scripture implies, killed an animal. Why? Because he covered them with skin of an animal. And so God chose to kill an animal, sacrifice, that's the key word, an animal, that they would be covered and taken care of and their shame and guilt could be covered. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but that story from thousands of years ago, it screams, look at the cross, because that's what God did for us. Think about this story, the Passover lamb in Egypt, where Moses and the Israelites are trying to leave the bondage of Egypt. And in one of the most horrible plagues of all, God is going to send the death angel. And he tells the Israelites, take the blood of a spotless lamb and post it over the door frames and lintel of your home. And so you take and you would brush this onto your home, and then the death angel will pass over and not bring death to that home. And it would surely let the Egyptians know that they need to let my people go because I am awesome and powerful. And don't miss the fact that as they take and they take a rag or whatever they took and they dipped it in the blood of the lamb, and as they touch the sides and as they touch the top, it's that beautiful image of the cross, way before anyone knew anything about a cross except God himself. And this points to the cross. Then there is the story of the Exodus in Israel, where God provides for them as they leave Egypt and move to the promised land. It's the story and picture of salvation. How about as you remember the deeds of old? How about Noah and the ark? And we stop and think that God saved mankind. We like to stop and think about it as God destroyed the world, but here's the reality. God saved mankind, and God still saves mankind. The story of David and Goliath, it's a story of it's a type picture of the Savior, but it's also a type picture of you and me, that God can take who you are, little old ordinary you and me, and use us for his glory when we're surrendered to him. How about Esther, who showed up at such a time was needed to save the people, to provide for them, and God still puts you. You're an Esther. Every lady in this room, if you know Jesus, you're an Esther, because God's got you in the right time and place that you could be his woman on the scene. And some of you have been walking in some sort of self-defeat, or you've been trying to figure out what your purpose is, or maybe you're just stuck in the muck and mire of the daily routine of your life, and you think because of this, maybe you're working hard to raise a family, and in the middle of that, you sometimes might lose focus on just how God's going to use all of this for his glory. You're thankful to do what you do, but can I be the one to tell you, God has you right where he needs you. You are God's woman on the scene. You are the Esther for your family. You're making a difference for them. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget what God is doing in your life. How about Jesus and the woman at the well? That beautiful story in Samaria where the woman of ill repute, just the way we'll say it, comes to draw water, and Jesus tells her that he has water that she will never thirst from. He can offer to her new life and salvation. He explains that he's the Messiah to come to her. And it's a reminder, no matter how bad things are for you and for me, God brings salvation to people just like us. We're the ones he considers the prize, no matter what your guilt or shame is. Then there's the feeding of the 5,000, God's provision. There's Stephen's boldness in the face of death. He does something that probably very few of us would have the courage to do as he stands and proclaims the gospel, knowing he's about to die. Then there's Paul, who's standing there watching it happen, who hates Jesus, who hates this idea of the way. And then he has a conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and God changes his eyesight, and God changes his direction, and God changes his life, and Paul then will change the world. We read so much of his writing even today. Then there's Peter's dream. Peter is asleep and he has a vision from God about food on a roof. And what does all that mean? And it's not about food. That vision's about Gentiles hearing the gospel. It's about people like you and me who are not Jewish being able to be grafted in and adopted as sons and daughters of God. That story is amazing, and it's our life story we ought to claim and grab a hold of. We could keep going on and on and on, but the stories, it says then, I will remember your wonders of old. There's 100 more stories we could stop and thank God for. Then it says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Can I ask you, think back over your life. I'm 53. This will be my 54th Thanksgiving to experience. I don't remember the first few, but I remember a whole bunch of the rest. And for you, however old you are, you stop and you think about this season of life for you. And would you take a moment to stop and reflect on all the ways God has blessed you over the years? Now, let's not even talk about this year yet. Let's just talk about in the past. Can I tell you about my fourth grade Sunday school teacher? His name was Deemer Self. Deemer, I loved him. In fourth grade, I didn't know he had a pretty strong speech impediment. We just didn't realize it because we loved him so it never even occurred to us. But here he was, a man that would struggle sometimes in his conversation, but he loved those fourth grade Sunday school boys, and he bribed us every week with the sucker to learn the scripture, and I would still love to have some. I can picture the sucker and love to have one right now. Anyway, that's another story. But here's the deal. I can stop and I thank God for him because he changed my life. He shared truth with me. I can think about youth workers when I was a teenager, student ministers. I can think about volunteers who helped. I can think about the man who met me and two other guys every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. in our church fellowship hall growing up to open the Bible and teach us how to read God's word together as a 13-year-old. That was something invaluable in my life. On and on, I can think about the family that God gave me. I can stop and reflect on the beauty of God providing my wife. Lily and I have known each other since she was in sixth grade and I was in eighth grade. I wish I had brought a prop, Lily. We have a prop. It's her sixth grade yearbook. My picture in it is circled and it says fine beside it, just so y'all know. Is that true? It's true. Yes, it's true. So we just want you to know. Just telling you. Okay. So, but I think we didn't date until she was a senior in college. It took me a while to work my courage up to ask her out. But I think what a blessing my family is. I think about all the children in my life and in my home and how every one of them came from a different road and a different journey to get there. And none of them came the simple way that probably it happens for most families, but to know how God said, I've got a plan, and just around the corner, I'm going to surprise you again and again and again and again. And I could keep going. You get the point. When he says, remember the deeds, meditate on your mighty deeds, would you do the same? Now, we don't have time for everybody to share like I did, but would you take 60 seconds right now to stop and reflect in your own mind about how God has blessed you throughout your life? I'm not going to speak for that 60 seconds, and we're going to be silent. And in silence, would you stop and reflect on all the ways God blessed you over the years? Friends, if you can't make a long list of things to be thankful for, now would you take a second to think about just the past year of your life? I heard a little baby just a second ago. And let me tell you what, that's a reminder of the blessing of God this year. So how's God blessed you this year? In the past, listen, I asked this question a year ago, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, last year. But your year flew by just like mine. It just flew by. So can I ask you? How has God moved in your life this last year? There may be some heartache and some strife and some difficulty, but what joy, what gift, what protection, what did he bring to you this past year? I'm thankful. And then lastly, would you close your eyes with your head, you don't have to bow your heads, but just close your eyes. Just for privacy, will you take just a moment to remember the ultimate act of blessing in your life? Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could be made righteous and whole. Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could know God and live with him for all eternity. Jesus shed his blood so that your sin, your shame, your regrets, your pain could all be made new and whole in him. In a day and age where churches are stopping to talk about the blood and stopping to talk about the cross, which is foolishness in my mind that they would ever do that. In a day and age where some would say it's politically incorrect, may I shout from the loudest voice I can in this room today that I am thankful that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So God, we celebrate that together right now. Oh, we celebrate it together. Would you sing with us? The blood will never lose its power. Now you know it. Let's lift it to the Lord together. Come on, let's sing.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Nothing but the
seated, friends. Now, let's proclaim his death until he comes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes these words, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" When Jesus says that the cup, the wine, was the new covenant in his blood, the old covenant God made in the Old Testament, that they would shed the blood of an innocent animal for a time to cover your sins for a time. But the new covenant was that Jesus would shed his blood for us, and it would only take one time, and it would be for all the sins of all the world, past, present, and future, for anyone who would trust in him. And the new covenant is that we walk in grace and truth. You don't have to walk around wondering if your next mistake and your next sin and your next failure is going to kick you out of the kingdom of God. The new covenant that we celebrate through the blood of Jesus is that God's grace is sufficient for you, that God's mercy is enough for you. It's more than enough. And so we celebrate the elements together. You'll find the bread on one side, you'll find the juice on the other. We will start with the bread. And as a reminder, that the bread, it represents the body of Christ broken for us. The juice, it represents the blood of Christ shed for you and for me. And so what we celebrate, as he said, we proclaim his death until he returns, but we're proclaiming the victory in that death, that his death brought new life for all of us. So reflect in your life and celebrate with us when the time comes. Let's share communion together. So they took the bread, he broke it, and they ate. Let's eat the bread.
I'm
And so he takes the cup and says, this is the new covenant in my blood. So we drink because we've received his grace. We drink because he's made us new. So take and drink. With thanksgiving in our heart, we take the cup. With thanksgiving in our lives, we drink the cup, we eat the bread. God, every person in this room, every person at home, every person listening on the radio, we all have so much to be thankful for. God, may we live our gratitude today. May we live our gratitude for your salvation this week. May we live our gratitude no matter what our circumstance. Lord, may we give you all we have right now, today. Let's sing together this song of gratitude. Let this be your heart to him.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, not nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing.
Father God, we sing hallelujah to you, which means praise to the Lord. For those in the room, if you don't know, as you sing hallelujah, you are saying praise to the Lord. So God, we sing hallelujah to you. When we have nothing else to give you, we give you that. But Lord, we want to give you our lives. May our lives sing hallelujah. May our responses to others say hallelujah. May our purposeful decisions say hallelujah. God, help us to live it. The cross and the empty tomb provide a way for us to live like Jesus. The resurrection provides a way for us to move from death to life. The story of Jesus allows us to be adopted into the family of God. God, I'm so thankful that we have been made for more than just existing. We have been made to live and love and serve like Jesus. We have been made for more. So we'll sing this one last song to you, Lord. And really, it's our own commitment in our own lives. That we say, God, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of the empty tomb, you've made us to be sons and daughters of the King. You've made us to walk in new life. We're not supposed to tend the grave of our past sins. We're supposed to walk new and free and whole in you. So, Father, may we end this communion service with a commitment. Lord, may this be our anthem, each of us today, that you poured out all of your love and grace for us so we walk new in you. We were made for more. We'll sing this to you now. Let's stay standing. This is our final song. Let this be your commitment prayer today to the Lord. Let this be your prayer.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth. I
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.